The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org. Hallway House provides community building programs and tenant support services to low-income seniors, veterans, and vulnerable residents in the downtown East Side and across Vancouver. Recently, Jordan Kawchuk spoke with the founder of Hallway House, Jenny Conkin.
When we think of veterans on Remembrance Day, we think pressed uniforms and stoic faces. We don't often think of how many veterans are at risk, facing marginalization, mental and physical issues, and homelessness right here in the downtown East Side. The numbers are staggering. But there is a place to help vulnerable seniors and veterans live a better life with dignity and support. Jenny Conkin founded the Hallway House in 2013 to do just that, and it's now partnered with the Veterans Memorial Manor right on Alexander Street, bringing programs, services, and homes to those who gave us so much.
Hey, Al.
Hi.
What's going on? Are you being a grump?
Huh?
You being a grump?
No.
You don't want the free food? It's delicious. Oh, can I have Al's?
My name is Jenny Conkin. I'm the president and co-founder of Hallway House Society. We partner with the Veterans Manor to provide community building programs and tenant support services for vulnerable seniors and veterans living here in the downtown East Side. So the Veterans Manor is a nonprofit housing society that houses 133 veterans and seniors. And Hallway House Society has partnered with the landlord to provide the on-site community building programs and services. What we found is a lot of nonprofit landlords are not able to provide the support services because they are a landlord that's not in their capacity. And so we're able to partner with them to ensure that their tenants have the support that they need so that they can have good housing security, they can be great tenants, and we can ensure that those relationships are successful, especially when someone is transitioning out of homelessness. There's a period that we're able to help them stabilize. So we provide things like blankets and dishes and getting their home set up, but then we also help them with monthly success check-ins. So how are you doing? How are you settling in here? Is there anything that you need? Often we find older tenants also might be nervous to talk to their landlord about something. They hear rumors about rent evictions or different things. And so we're able to help with that relationship and ensure that the tenant is getting what they need, but also that the landlord has a great relationship with that tenant. Since 2017, Hallway House has been partnering with the Veterans Manor because we recognize, so we're funded by BC Housing, and we recognize that the residents who live here, 133 at-risk men, had no support services on site. So we provide a community building program, so we have social programming to help people stay active, whether it's getting up in the morning for a coffee club and, you know, getting showered and getting ready to come downstairs and see your neighbors and have some social time, or going on a special outing once a week. Before COVID, we could have family dinners, which is really fun to all sit down together and eat our meal together. We do games nights, just really fun social activities to help people reconnect so they have a sense of belonging here. And then programs that help people rebuild a sense of purpose and confidence, especially as people are getting into their older age. We see this a lot with people who came from the military may feel a sense of loss of purpose. A sense of loss of purpose because they really had an identity in their military career, and now they're in a place of where they've come on hard times and maybe they feel quite lonely and very like they're not contributing. And we want everyone, no matter what age, what ability, to have the opportunity to contribute to their community. Everyone has gifts and talents, right? And so we want to be able to contribute and know that we matter. And so whether it's helping to volunteer and setting up with our programs, or doing a course, sometimes we do a cooking class, or different things that they can feel very successful and understand that they matter. They have something still to give, and that's really been amazing. And then we provide vital support services, and that's really part of our recenter program. So whether it's somebody to help you fill out paperwork, you know, there's a lot of government forms, especially as you're getting older. We help people also connect with other services in the community. So if someone is struggling to manage their finances, we can help them sign up for the adult guardianship program. I can't tell you how many people we've helped sign up for direct deposit so that their rent is being paid automatically. We did find that some people target elderly people in the community on pension day. So So there are many of the veterans and the seniors who still want to go to the bank and they want to bring their bank book. I don't know if you've ever seen a bank book, but they love to bring their bank book, and that gives them independence and autonomy. And so we wanted them to be able to do that safely and not be targeted by, you know, a new friend who suddenly is around on pension day and who might try to take advantage of them. So we actually purchased a van so that we could drive them to their bank, be escorted or chaperoned, and if they need any help with budgeting or their finances, we're able to do that with them. Otherwise, it's just a safe ride to the bank, ensuring that they get home safely and they have all their finances intact. And then other things like helping to remind them about doctor's appointments, connecting them if they are, say, somebody's been diagnosed with cancer, ensuring that they're able to follow up with their appointments, and if they need assistance as well and support in those areas. So we do see a big gap in the system between housing and health, where when someone turns 65, their rent is no longer paid automatically through the system. And so we've seen, you know, we've even seen elderly people become homeless because of that. They don't realize it's not coming out of their bank account anymore. So we're able to help mitigate that and get ahead of it and be proactive. So a lot of our support programs are to be preventative and proactive, that we know our veterans and our seniors are not at risk of homelessness. We're already able to see ahead and ensure that they have security in their housing, and work with their landlord as well, in order that they have that security to know that they have a home. Yeah, we found that it's really important for people to have a sense of connection and belonging in their housing. So we do community building programs like morning coffee programs, super smoothies. I started a smoothie program because I found it was really hard to get older men to want to eat healthy. So we put a lot of spinach in our smoothies. We put some great protein powder, but of course they taste great. And it's a great excuse to get together with your neighbors and just enjoy a great snack. We do games nights, and family dinners was a huge thing for us before COVID. We're excited for the day that we can all sit down and eat together again. We have a free shopping program, which is also a great way to get neighbors down and meeting each other. But also we found that often there would be a veteran or a senior who needed maybe some new clothing or some hygiene items, and they might feel too proud to accept charity. And so we started a program where we set up the lobby to be like a retail store once a month. So people bring donations and we collect clothing and shampoo and conditioner and household items, pots and pans. And then as the residents come, they receive 10 tokens and they can shop at their leisure to select the items that they want and need. And they pay for their items with these tokens. The tokens were free, but it does create a sense of dignity because there's an exchange. There's a retail experience where you get to choose. I got to choose this jacket because I like this jacket. And so it's been a really successful program for them. And it helps people get up in the morning, get out of their units. They're not isolated and lonely. And we find that there's a lot of other health issues that can stem from that when people aren't getting enough exercise. They're not interacting. As we're aging, it's important we keep our minds active. And especially for our veterans who have gone through so much already, we want them to have dignity in their home. We do find that there are quite a few people who are too intimidated to go out in the neighborhood anymore. They might have lived here for over 20 years. And, you know, back then, Alexander Street wasn't really part of the downtown East Side. And it's become more and more intimidating. It can be quite dangerous for them. Many of them look vulnerable, and so they feel nervous to go out. So we want there to be as much activity as possible here for them so that they do have good quality of life, and we are honoring them. Again, as I said, for our veterans, we feel so proud that we get to be a part of their journey, a part of their lives, but we also feel a sense of responsibility. These are people that we say every year on November 11th, lest we forget, we honor you. You know, we thank you for your service. We're so grateful for what you did. But if you come to the Downtown East Side, you will find veterans who have been forgotten. And so we really wanted to take that responsibility seriously and put action behind our words. We don't forget. We want you to feel honored. We want you to know that so much of what we enjoy today is because of you, and we're thankful for that. And so it might be through small programs. It might be through supporting them, you know, helping them have access to other resources in the neighborhood. But just in general, that you have a community of support around you that we don't forget. Our most recent homeless counts showed that 24% of our homeless population in Metro Vancouver are seniors. Many of them are first-time homeless. So they're becoming homeless in their older age. There are many contributing factors to that. One would be obviously the price of living, the cost of living. We need affordable housing for seniors, but also they need support. As people are aging, we do find in, especially in the downtown east side, they don't have a good support network. Maybe they don't have family connections anymore. You know, if you're grandfather was aging, you might be able to help get him to the doctor if you're noticing changes with his mental health, or maybe you see some signs of dementia. They don't have somebody to step in and help them. And so with the support services, we're able to prevent that homelessness. Other factors, contributing factors, would be as they're aging, they might have more physical disabilities and they're not able to take care of their units. Many seniors are too intimidated to talk to their landlord or reach out and ask for help. Or who do I ask for help? I can't afford a housekeeper, or you know, they might not know that they can have access to home support services. So we're able to coordinate those services to, again, help prevent homelessness, but also intervene when someone has become homeless. We don't have a senior supportive housing program in our province. And so it's something we're working on with BC Housing. This would be a prime model of how we can help seniors and veterans who are homeless come into housing, stabilize, and have successful tenancy. And not only that, dignity and quality of life. This is what they deserve. We know with veterans, one of the reasons they were becoming homeless, again, with Expo, when Expo was coming in 86, they counted 900 veterans who were either in extremely precarious housing or who were homeless, and which is why this building was built in the first place. A lot of that has to do with, you know, when someone came back from serving, we saw that with a gentleman named Michael, who was our 98-year-old World War II veteran. His family relationship was strained, and you know, he ended up divorced, and his family hadn't spoken to him in a long time. And so this is a place that you can come as a single man. There was, you know, a lot of the men who came up here were working here in industry jobs, whether it was in logging or at the port. And so this became a bit of a hub. If you look back at the history of the neighborhood, I believe there was a bar and a brothel at least on every single block. The amount, like there are still grandfathered alcohol liquor licenses here that people look for, because there were so many. So it just became a hub for people who felt alone and people who might not have had a home to go to when they came back from serving. And so we do see a lot of veterans. And in that time, you know, I mean, mental health still has stigma around it. Imagine the stigma coming home from serving and you feel damaged or lost or afraid and you don't know who to talk to about it. Maybe there were resources there for them. Maybe they didn't feel, you know, strong enough to reach out. Maybe there wasn't. But we do see that a lot of the veterans who live here don't have any family ties or connection. If you ever ask Andrew, how you doing, Andrew?
Copacetic.
Is his classic answer. I love that I can always rely on Andrew to bring a smile to my face. So when I ask Andrew, how are you doing? He always says, copacetic. And I think everybody in the building has learned, if you want to brighten up your day, go have a coffee with Andrew. Go, you know, come down to the lobby. You'll see his smiling face.
They do so many things for us, you know, that had never been done here in any other hotel. So this is a first prize for me.
So Andrew has lived here at the Veterans Manor for over 20 years. He is one of our Indigenous brothers. We're so thankful for Andrew sharing his story and his life with us. He has shared a lot of the hardships that he's gone through in his life. But he's one of the most inspiring people, because I would say he has the best attitude of almost anyone I know. Andrew is so kind to his neighbors. He looks out for people who are in need. He has a neighbor who is blind, and he'll often walk beside him when they go on their special outings in the afternoons to make sure that his neighbor feels supported and they're going to a new place. Andrew makes close, deep friendships. He's very open and kind, and I would say Andrew is the kind of person that you look at and you think, if I was in this situation, would I be able to smile and laugh and actually not only think about myself, but actually reach out to help other people, which is exactly what he does here. He's a huge part of our community, and we're so thankful to have him. I think another thing that we love about having Andrew at our programs is I always see Andrew when you go on the outings with people. You're so helpful, and I remember even you helping your friend Ernie get in and out of the van.
Yeah.
Making sure nobody's left behind, or, yeah.
That's right. Everybody needs help. You know, we have to give them help. So that's our lifestyle. You know, it should be everybody's lifestyle to help everybody. You know, regardless of their strength and all that. I need help once in a while myself. So up here.
I think that's the quote of the day. We should all be helping each other out. We all need help sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. That note, that list there, that's who the whole house is.
We keep a big whiteboard with all of our weekly programs here in the lobby so that everybody feels invited and welcome. Yeah. And whether you want to come to coffee in the morning so that you get up, take a shower, comb your hair, and meet some neighbors.
What hair?
Oh, what hair? And you still got a few. I can see a few there. When we first arrived at the Veterans Manor, they really have done a great job providing secure, safe housing for veterans who have been homeless, who have experienced homelessness. But they didn't have the resources to provide the support services. And so one thing that we really aimed to make a priority was that Remembrance Day here would be kind of the day of the year. We wanted them to know that they weren't forgotten. And so we were able to work with the Vancouver Poppy Fund. We work with the city who sets up the cenotaph and the ceremony at Victory Square. And we set up so that we had reserved seating. We found out that most of the veterans who lived here had never been to Victory Square, let alone been a part of, they weren't a spectator or a participator. And so we ensured that they had front row seating. It's amazing to see they get dressed up. If they have any of their, their uniform, some still have a beret or a pin from their uniform, and they'll wear that so proudly. We purchase a wreath. And we go together and we lay the wreath together. And this has been so special because to think that we have veterans in our city, how many people gather together at Victory Square pre-COVID? And to think that actual veterans aren't coming. And so we're there for them. And I had to actually convince them. I said, do you know that the people are there for you? We're there to honor you. And so you deserve a seat here. And so where they may have felt maybe shame or embarrassment before, now they found the sense of pride again. They were proud that they could be a part of this. This year, last year, we had a bagpiper come here and do a private performance here outside on the rooftop so that they still felt honored and remembered. We still have the wreath and we present that to them as we watch the ceremony. And then this year we'll have Rosemary Siemens. She'll be coming and playing the violin for them in a private performance after we watch the ceremony and present the wreath. We have a commemorative poppy that we'll be presenting to each veteran. And so we want to make it a really beautiful and special day for them. Again, I think they lost so many years feeling maybe ashamed or that they didn't belong there. And they do. Just because they're struggling with some mental health issues or they've struggled in their lifetime after their service, it doesn't mean that they don't deserve, a seat at the table. They don't deserve to be recognized and honored. And all the more, they deserve our support and our remembrance. Every day I wake up, I think, I get to come and work with veterans today. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that they paved the way. And I think about the hard things that they came up through. I would also say to remember not only on November 11th, but throughout the year, what's a way that you could reach out to a veterans organization? What's a way that you might be able to send a card and just say, I'm thinking about you in March, and reach out and find out what they might need. Often throughout the year, we find out through the Legions, we find out through the Poppy Fund, Holway House. There's different needs. They might not have some of the vital needs in their lives. Maybe there's a way for you to donate if that's possible. But reach out, find out how you can support a veteran. Not only on November 11th, but all throughout the year.
That was Jenny Konkin, president and founder of the Whole Way House Society, helping veterans live better lives. And for more information and to donate or volunteer, visit wholewayhouse.ca. For Vancouver's Co-op Radio, I'm Jordan Kotchuk.
That was Jenny Konkin, founder of Whole Way House. You can find out more by going to wholewayhouse.ca.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative. a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.